This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. The Russian government has been struggling to keep peace in the republic. Chechen rebels were blamed for last week's deadly subway bombing in Moscow. Chechens have been fighting for independence for years. And there's also discontent in eastern Russia, where people complain the government has forgotten them entirely. In the Soviet era, the government poured money into developing the remote Far East. But today, the area is among Russia's most economically depressed. NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports from the city of Khabarovsk.
By the time passengers on the Trans-Siberian Railway arrive here from European Russia, they've been traveling for up to a week across eight time zones. Train travel across this massive country used to be cheap, not anymore. Even a second-class round-trip ticket to Moscow cost $250, twice an average local monthly salary. 36-year-old Sergei is returning from a business trip to Moscow, but he says these days, business is the only reason he'd go to the European part of the country, west of the Ural Mountains. I can barely afford the trip anymore. If I want to go on vacation, for instance, why would I go to Moscow or the Black Sea coast when I can go abroad for less money, Sergei says. And going abroad from Russia's Asian Far East means not going far. China's just across the Amur River from here. Japan and South Korea are just short, inexpensive flights away. Dmitry Trenin of the Moscow Carnegie Center says it's natural Russians in the Far East are starting to feel cut off.
The place where they live is thousands and thousands of miles away from Moscow. And they used to be subsidized to a significant degree. Say, railroad tariffs is a major issue. In order to fly from Vladivostok to Moscow or to central Russia, you need a fortune these days.
And while the Far East rapidly develops trade ties with China and Japan, commerce with the European part of Russia has plummeted. That's obvious on the streets of Far Eastern cities. Here in Khabarovsk, Japanese and Korean cars dominate the roads, unlike in the western part of the country where Russian models are still king. Most of the imports are used left-hand drive models, this in a country where people drive on the right-hand side of the road. At Kostinyuk's used cars, dealer Vladimir Ivanov says more than 9 of 10 cars he sells are Japanese or Korean. It seems like everything is done to cut us off from the rest of Russia, Ivanov says. It costs $1,300 to ship a Russian car from the west of the country where they're made. It costs a fraction of that to bring in imports from Asia. And Ivanov says that used Japanese vehicles are more reliable than new Russian ones. Vladimir Kuchuk is an economic advisor with the regional government. The forces of integration are pulling us further away from Russia, Kuchuk says. The Far East could fall out of Russia's economic sphere altogether. This is a dangerous tendency. Since the Soviet collapse more than a decade ago, 1 million of the Far East's 7 million people have left. Most migrate from cities like Khabarovsk, Vladivostok, or Magadan to European Russia, where there are better-paying jobs. Yuri is a former engineer who now works as a taxi driver. He says he's thought about leaving the Far East as well, but he doesn't have the money. It would cost $5,000 to move me and my family to Moscow, Yuri says. Moscow doesn't need us anyway. Something should be done to help the Far East, he says. Russia's Far East is a territory that extends from the Arctic Ocean to the Sea of Japan, from tundra in the north to verdant farmland and vast forests along its southern edges. It's bigger than the continental U.S. Boris Reznik, a parliamentary deputy from Khabarovsk, accuses the central government of pushing away its eastern regions.
Central Russia treats the East very badly. Our problems are being deepened by our geographic distance. For most countries, territory is a blessing. For our country, it's becoming a minus.
Reznik says 75% of revenues produced in the Far East end up being taken by the central government in Moscow. He says the central government needs to help the East better develop its huge natural resources like lumber, fisheries, gold, and other reserves. But analyst Dmitry Trenin says those industries, and most notably the region's many military factories and installations, used to be heavily dependent on subsidized electricity and transport.
People complain that the central government is not looking after their infrastructure, which is crumbling. The central government is not creating jobs, and they feel they have a right to have a special deal from Moscow because they are exposed, they are on the border, there are very few of them out there, and because they were for decades just a military industrial bulwark of the Soviet Union, and they developed a dependency in Moscow, which is now becoming a liability.
Aside from economics, the psychological barrier between Eastern and Western Russia is increasing as well. Again, parliamentary deputy Boris Reznik.
We now have a generation of kids here who have never been in the European part of Russia, though they've been to China here, right here, across the river, and they might know everything about Korea.
In the 1990s, there were even calls by some here in the Far East for independence from Russia itself. Russia's harsh treatment of separatist tendencies in places like Chechnya have helped quash such sentiments, but the resentment remains. But not everyone here is so resentful. Anna, a Khabarovsk college student, says Russia, both part of Asia and a part of Europe, has always struggled to define itself.
You know, Russia has always comprised two notions, two parts, like Asia and Europe. That's why it's an intersection of different characteristics, different features of people, and we don't feel like the part of Asia more like than the part of Europe. It's an intersection.
But the East-West psychological divide is palpable even in the music of some Far Eastern Russian artists, like Marina Samarkina. Samarkina says people from Moscow, for instance, act like they live at the center of the earth.
A lot of people think we live in a place with polar bears wandering around on the streets. They're surprised when they come here and see civilized folks.
Samarkina sings of her love for the Far East and its huge, wide-open spaces. My Khabarovsk, you may be no Moscow, but when I'm away from you, Khabarovsk, I see you in my dreams. Samarkina reflects the feelings of many in the Far East when she says, nobody needs us in Moscow anymore. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News. Кому-то просто три холма, да он и не обидится.
Хабаровск мой, ты не Москва. This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.